Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. It is wonderful to be here this morning. Thank you all for braving the cold. We've got the heat on. It'll get warm here in a little bit. I see some of you brought your coats right in with you, so probably a good plan for today. Stay warm. My name is Deacon Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon who hangs out here with all of you doing mission and ministry together. This is a congregation, as you know, that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. We do that in a variety of ways, some of which you will see having scrolled on the screen in front of you while you were waiting for service to start, and some are in your bulletin, and some on that connection card that was in the bulletin that was handed to you. If you would take a moment to fill that out, check off anything you want to have someone to talk to about, and we will make sure that that happens for you. There are also prayer cards in the pew back, bright yellow. This is a praying congregation, so please, if you are in need of prayer or someone you know is in need of prayer, feel free to fill one of those out. Today, Liz Hoover will be helping us in worship, and I don't see anybody that needs to get to Sunday school, but just in case, I'm assuming the Sunday school teachers are down there, so hopefully they're going to stay warm today, this morning, too. We're going to start the announcements with Susan.
Good morning. I'm Susan, your music director, and I am working on a new project, something new that we're starting. Have you ever heard of a story slam? Have you ever listened to the Moth Radio Hour on NPR, where they tell stories? Have you ever listened to books on tape? Who likes books on tape? Who has read a story to a child? A grandchild, your own child, read a story to a child. Who has ever been to a poetry reading? I used to go to poetry readings in Venice Beach, and there were pillows on the floor, and it was very groovy. Anyway, so we are having a story / poetry slam on January 28th at 6 p.m., and I hope you will join us for some great refreshments, some great company, and to hear some great stories and some great poems. Our theme is acceptance. That's a very fitting theme for this week, with Martin Luther King Day coming up this week, and just thinking about acceptance. You will hear my story about playing basketball. That is truly a story of acceptance. If you think you might like to share a story or a poem, it doesn't have to be necessarily written by you. Your own story is way more interesting than anybody else's, trust me. But if you would like to share a story, we would love to have you. We are going to be meeting, Pastor Lynn and I are going to be meeting today at 12:30 in the music room to help people work on developing their stories. And then again, next Sunday, the 21st, we'll meet again at 12:30 to help people if they'd like to work on developing a story they could share. So I hope you will join us. I think it's going to be a great time.
Just a couple other announcements. If you were not here last week, you might have noticed there's a table in the back with a bunch of journals on it. Those are for you to take home as we go through this 365 days of gratitude. We are asking that people take one of these journals. There's also stickers and pens back there to get you started, to take a moment every day and write something that you are grateful for. Doesn't have to be long paragraphs. It can be a simple sentence. I remember when my kids were little, one of my things in my gratitude journal was everything, the kids are asleep.
Amen.
As a parent of young children, you can appreciate that. The sock drive is still going on. They're being collected in the back of the community room there in what used to be the library. The construction deconstruction has started, as you can tell, and construction will be starting in a very short time there to redo that room. And lastly, on the January 18th, there will be a presentation on the history of Livingston County race relations. I have read the book. I have heard this gentleman speak. You will be blessed and educated and edified to be a part of that night. So please put that on your calendar for 6 p.m. It'll be a virtual presentation, so you can get the online information from the website or from the front office. So those are the announcements for this morning. Let's all rise and warm up by singing together.
Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord of all, we bring our praise to you in worship. We sing songs of praise together. We lift our prayers to you together. We live out your call together. Fill us with joy as we serve and grow in you. Amen. Please be seated.
And adore you, Lord.
I think the ministers have received the message about we people who read the scripture like short scriptures. I noticed Tom had a short scripture last week, and this week it's short again. The scripture reading is from Psalms 9, verses 1 and 2. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High.
Amen. Thank you so much, Liz. This is the word of God for God's people, for which we say, thanks be to God. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to be grateful. Amen. Well, Lindsay came home last week and she was laughing a little bit because we had designed this sermon series about gratitude. And we had thought, you know, gratitude, particularly in this year, as we sort of forecasted out for what the year might hold, we knew that this was a significant year in the United Methodist Church. And this is a significant year going into an election year. And we thought there might be some turbulence. And so we just thought, even though it's January, let us set a goal of trying to be grateful, not only just in January when it's cold and wet and, you know, gray out, but perhaps for the whole year. So we named this sermon series Gratitude 365, and Lindsay came home last week and she said, you know, our congregation is very astute. You all, many of you knew that this was a leap year, and you were happy to point that out to Lindsay. So we just want to publicly and boldly proclaim, you can take a day off if you need to. You get one free day. It's like bingo, where you get the middle square, and then everything else sort of will take care of itself. But as we move through this year, we're hoping to ingrain in all of us a practice of gratitude, looking in, you know, it could be something that happened that day or previously in the week, whatever the case may be, just taking a moment and thinking, you know what? God's been good to me. And taking a moment in these gratitude journals, which you can choose any color, they're Technicolor in the back, you can have any kind you'd like, but we're encouraging folks to pick those up and practice giving thanks in the good times and in the bad times. And today we're going to be talking about having gratitude when things aren't necessarily going according to plan, when things are off the rails, when things have gone poorly. Is there still a way to have gratitude inside your heart? And this morning, as I was preparing for this message, there are so many stories in scripture of things going well and people are grateful and everybody's rejoicing. But what I love about the Bible is it's incredibly honest and it's filled with stories about things absolutely falling apart. And so I wanted to share with you a couple of stories this morning about when things get off the rails and ways that we can be thankful even when things aren't going the way that we intended them to go or the way that we hope them to turn out. And so as I was reflecting on this morning's message, I was thinking about Job, right? There's not a better example in the scriptures about things that were projected to be great. Here this guy is, he's got a wonderful home, a wonderful family, he's got property, he's got all of these animals, and he's rejoicing in God, and God's sort of like, you can't find a more faithful man than Job. Behold, my servant Job, the scriptures say, look at this wonderful guy, he's happy, the sun is always shining on him, he's always praising, he's deep into the spiritual practices, he didn't take a single day off from his gratitude journal the whole year, he's praising God. And, you know, there's this conversation that sort of breaks out between God and the tempter, however you want to interpret that, the devil, whatever you want to say. And the devil's like, of course this guy's grateful. Look at him. You've blessed him. You've given him everything that he could possibly hope for. He's happy. He's out. He's dancing. He's giving thanks to you. But take some of those things away, God, and let's see if he's still singing your praises. Let's see what we might be able to do to this guy. And God's sort of like, all right, let's do a little experiment. And so sure enough, you probably remember the story, but suddenly his family that's well and healthy begins to get sick and they ended up passing away. And some of the livestock that were a part of his his wealth, some of his sort of prosperity start to die off, and he starts to lose some of that security and comfort that he has. And sure enough, a couple of chapters into Job, you see this scene, right, of Job's wife coming up to him, and he's like, you know, just renounce this whole faith thing. You sound absolutely absurd praising God despite the fact that things are going, you know, poorly in your life. It's ridiculous to keep hearing you say this. Just cut ties, right? Like, do whatever you need to do to make things right, because clearly things aren't going well for you. And Job says to his wife in sort of a condescending way, I don't necessarily recommend this for partners to talk to your spouse this way. And he's like, you wicked woman, how can we praise God in the you know, beauty of wonderful things happening, but reject God when things aren't going well? But it's easy to do, right? I mean, all of a sudden, when things take a turn for the worse, and suddenly when things have been going well, and now they're not going so well, we find ourselves questioning, like, is there something that I've done, God? Have I caused this to happen? Do I believe in karma? Like, is it just about what I put into the system that I get that out? Is that how this whole thing works? I mean, sometimes when I pull into the grocery store and all of a sudden there's a parking spot that's literally right next to the door, I'm like, Eureka, God is on my side. And then there are sometimes, like today, when you pull into the grocery store and the wind is just blowing like crazy and it's freezing, and the only spot available is the furthest spot from the grocery store, and you're like, God's trying to teach me a lesson. Is anybody else like this? You find yourself playing some, you know, some thoughts inside your head. But in more extreme cases, perhaps you're going through a period of life and your health has been good, and suddenly you go into the doctor's office, and instead of the happy, joyous tenor that your physician usually has with you, you know, they start taking like the typical Lions post-game interview voice, where it's like, well, we had some things come back in the test that we're going to look at this week. You all know those kinds of doctor's appointments where they speak in a low, clear voice, and they're starting to deliver some news that provides anxiety and consternation. Are you able to praise God in that moment? Gratitude, I don't think, is exclusively contingent on our outside circumstances. It's not necessarily about what's going on in our lives. It's about an orientation, a choice that we make to be grateful for the things that we have that are good in our life. And I'm confident that all of us, even in the worst of days, even on days that we wake up and we fire up our vehicle and it's 1 degree on the dashboard thermostat and we still decide to go to church, God bless you all. And for those of you who are watching online, you get bonus points for being extra intelligent. I'll give you credit there. I mean, they've probably got like heated blankets. I'm just imagining the scene, you know, like happy, warm. But in those moments, when things aren't going according to plan, are you able to sort of make a list of the good things and be grateful for them? In this moment in the story of Job, right, Job is still faithful, but finally at the very end, after 3 different friends come up to Job and try to give him their own understanding as to why bad things happen to otherwise good people, finally Job sort of breaks down and he has this confrontation with God, and he's like, God, how did you allow all these things to happen to me? And I think it's okay to question. I think it's okay to wrestle, and I think it's okay to sort of shake our hands. I mean, even David, who said to have the same heart as God, a heart after God's own heart. Even in David, this sort of pillar of faithfulness, has this moment where he breaks down and he's frustrated. God, why are you allowing these things to happen to me? Job has the same moment. God, why are you allowing these evil, nasty, terrible things to happen to me? I've been good. I've been faithful. I've been obedient. I've done everything you've asked me to do. Why does this happen? And then God gives, I think, one of the most beautiful speeches in all of Scripture. In my opinion, God looks down at Job and he says, is it your responsibility to determine where the ocean meets the shore or how tall the mountains are to be? Is it your decision to determine where the forests sprout up out of the earth? And he goes on and on to describe the fact that God has created everything in creation and said that it was good and it was beautiful. And even in the midst of hardship, the fact that God has provided this earth for us to live in, there's a way of being thankful for that. Yes, things happen that are unfair. Yes, we have been faithful and obedient and trusting in God, and that's not enough to provide a shield of protection from anything terrible happening in our life. Yes, we anticipate that this year is going to be filled with ups and downs. If you're into politics, you imagine that by the time October and November rolls around, we'll probably all be sick of people's yard signs and television ads and speeches for and against particular issues. Yes, we'll probably have difficult conversations with family members that may ultimately lead to us, you know, having to apologize. Yes, I imagine that by the end of General Conference, for those of you who know the ins and outs of the United Methodist Church, every 4 years our church gets together and we debate significant divisive issues of our time. I anticipate that this will be a year of hard conversations. But in the midst of it all, I believe it's possible to make a list of things that we're grateful for even in our enemies. I think it's possible to make a list of things that we're grateful for, even in circumstances that feel otherwise terrible. I know this is true because I'm a Lions fan. And I have found reasons to be grateful, despite the fact that we have not made it to the postseason and won a game in a long, long time. But I'm grateful today. In the midst of our daily lives, there are going to be moments of turbulence. Sometimes I think we're not able to be grateful because there's something buried deep within us, maybe something that we're not proud of or we're not grateful about ourselves. And as I was thinking about this message, what are the barriers to us being grateful? Another biblical story kind of popped into my mind. And this story of accepting oneself, the story of Jacob, where he begins sort of not necessarily happy with who he is and who he's supposed to be, right? If you remember this particular biblical story, he's trying to get a blessing. He's trying to receive his father's blessing. And so he goes up to his dad and he puts like some animal skin on his arm and he says like, "Dad, I'm actually Esau, right? I'm pretending to be somebody that I'm not. I'm hoping to be somebody that I'm not." And he goes up and he fools his dad, so his dad gives him a blessing, and then this whole series of events sort of ensues. But the entire rest of Jacob's story, he spends all of this time trying to pretend to be something that he's not. And I believe that it would be really hard to be grateful, thankful for who you actually are, grateful to God for the life that you've been given, if you can't start with being grateful for the very person that you are. Yes, Jacob was the second born son. He wasn't the older brother. And in the ancient world, it was common for the older brother to get a blessing and maybe you get left out as a younger brother. It was unfair. It was unjust. But in this particular story, instead of being thankful, Jacob, the younger brother, tries to pretend to be something that he's not. Dad, Esau, he gets a blessing that he shouldn't have received. And I imagine he spends most of his life struggling to accept who he actually was. I'm Jacob. Until the very end of the story, when all of a sudden he gets into a wrestling match with God or an angel or something like that. And finally, this angel asks him, "What is your name? Who are you? Who are you in this world?" And finally, after all of these years of growing up, being a deceiver, somebody trying to pretend that he's somebody that he's not, he's finally able to say, "I'm Jacob. That's my name. That's who I'm supposed to be. That's who I'm created to be." And I find myself thinking in that particular story, he goes from being a pretender to owning his own story. And then I think we can be grateful when we say, "I'm not who I wish that I could be. I'm not where I imagined myself to be when I first set out to live this life." Some of you maybe have gone through life looking at the magazines or looking at the pictures and thinking, "Man, it would be great to be that person." Maybe you imagine yourself traveling more, having a wider experience or array of life experiences, and you wish, "I wish I could have been like that person or that person." But gratitude, I think, comes from accepting our own circumstances, whatever they may be. I'm John. I'm not something else. that's good enough, and I'm thankful just to be me. And I think as soon as we accept that, when we wake up in the morning and we're not where we wish we were, sometimes just being able to say, I'm thankful for being John, is enough. And I got to tell you, I'm like preaching to myself on this one. This isn't John standing on a mountaintop of arrival. But I think part of gratitude is accepting who we are, all of our faults and failures, all of our shortcomings, the fact that we're not our sibling who is going to get a blessing from our parent. For those of us that have brothers and sisters and have spent our whole life wishing that we were the one, like, you know, mom's favorite or dad's favorite. In our lives, we are who we are, and it's enough to be us, because God looks down on all of us with favor and is grateful for you exactly as you are, not as you imagine yourself to be, but you are enough, and we can be thankful for that. As we move through this sermon series, we hope that we can turn our gripes and our complaints and our anxieties about the world into just moments of peace and shalom and gratitude. I know some of you are going through those moments with doctors or employers, or maybe you're going through turbulent moments with family where you're uncomfortable having to share something that's been on your heart, maybe for a long period of time. But I'm hoping that in the midst of this sermon series, even when you're going through the valleys and the mountaintops, you're able to do it with gratitude, because this life is a gift. Even when people are super loud at the Brighton Chamber of Commerce meeting this last week, or when there's challenges in the church, or when you realize that your neighbor isn't going to vote for the same political candidate that you are, or when you've received a diagnosis and you realize that you're sick and the future that you imagined isn't going to take place the way you thought it would, or when you get diagnosed with COVID and you have to deal with being in isolation for 5 days, or when things aren't going well in your relationships, there's ways to be grateful and thankful. I hope in the midst of remembering Job's story, a story where he had everything and lost everything, but in the end is able to reconcile the fact that he's just Job, he can't be anything else besides himself, and that in his conversation with God, God says, I'm here for you. And sometimes that has to be good enough in the suffering. I hope you can find ways of being grateful, even in the valleys of these lives we live. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, there are ups and there are downs. And in the next year, in the next seasons of our lives, we pray that we would find ways to be grateful even when things aren't going according to plan. Help us to find ways to have hearts filled with gratitude. Help us to see the light and hope even when things aren't going our way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.
I'm so glad that Pastor John was talking about being grateful for where you are, that we are enough. Because I wrote this prayer on a gray, drab, cloudy day when I was in the pits. And now this morning, it's a nice, brilliant, sunny day. And I'm thinking, I'm not where I need to be. But it's written down, so it's going to be read. Over the past 2 months, I've come face to face with the fact that I don't like to apologize. And that isn't working for me anymore. To avoid apologizing, I would come up with a reason for what I'd done, but that wouldn't stop me from feeling guilty about it. Twice in December, I offended someone to the point that I knew about it, and the guilt was so bad that I had to apologize. I was relieved when I didn't faint from the effort. Fortunately, both friends forgave me, and my feelings of guilt eased, and the stomach ache and the headache that I had been carrying for those 4 or 5 days it took me to come to this realization went away. I'm so grateful that it's been put on my heart to deal with this shortcoming or personality flaw, whatever I want to call it. Now I've come face to face with another issue. I'm hoping there aren't too many more. Last week, while complaining to friend number one about what friend number two had not done, I badmouthed friend number two. I was not kind at all. This time, however, I didn't just feel guilty about it. I also felt that I wasn't being the person I was striving to be. I wasn't projecting a Christian attitude. I wasn't reflecting God's grace. I'm grateful for knowing this, for learning this, and it's another place where I can improve. So when it was time to start writing this prayer, I was dealing with those issues on a sad, gray, drab Michigan day. And the song, Are Ye Able, kept ringing through my head. Are ye able, said the master, that one. So it made me wonder, am I able or worthy of being called a Christian? Where else should I improve to reflect God's grace? Please settle into a thoughtful position as I share this prayer. Thank you, Susan. Dear Heavenly Father, the song asks, are you able? And I wonder if we are. Are we able to love our enemies? Are we able to socialize with others who are not like us? Are we able to be kind? Are we able to forgive others and ourselves? Are we able to follow the Christian path, accepting others where they are? When we look at the world around us, it seems that it's just not possible. But Lord, you created us in your image. And like the song says, Lord, we are able. Our spirits are thine. We can be like Jesus. We can look at our similarities rather than our differences. We can look at a person's strength rather than his weakness. We can be kind and forgiving and accepting. Because we have you in our hearts, we are filled with the grace we receive through your Son's sacrifice. Thank you so much, Lord. We are so grateful for your grace, for your Son, for the privileges, benefits, rights, freedoms that we have. We thank you for the lessons we have learned and are still learning. We pray that those who are yearning for that something more than hunger, or war, or fear that they are experiencing now will come to know you. We pray that every person can find something that leads them to you. We pray that our prayer quilt recipients today will feel your love and warmth. In silence now, we offer our praise and petitions. Hear us, Lord, as we offer the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily blessings, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I want to invite the ushers to prepare and come forward to receive today's offerings, and to remind you that even if you're having a hard time finding gratitude in your heart, we are grateful as a church to have you here. For whatever you give in your time, your talents, your presence, we are grateful. And we want you to know that what you do reaches out and changes others' lives. So thank you for your gifts this morning.
Lord of all, you have given us so much. Help us to be grateful. Bless the offerings we bring today, and help us to use them to bring the joy we have in you to others around us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, as we conclude this service, I hope that you're able to go out and find joy in all of the places that you can find joy, whether you're on the peaks or the valleys, whether you're in the highs or the lows. As we depart from this place, some of you may be aware that right at the end of the year, the United Methodist Women voted to support one of the ministries that is incredibly near and dear to my heart. It's called Water for Life, and it's a ministry that provides wells for folks in Liberia. And I received a message from my friend Jeffrey Knight. There was a district conference where over 1,000 delegates to this particular district gathered in a remote part of Liberia, and our United Methodist Women's $2,500 went to install a well there so that folks there would have safe and clean drinking water for the district conference. If you think it's bad to walk out in 1-degree weather, imagine sitting in a church meeting for like 14 hours, which is how they roll in Liberia, without water when it's 90 to 95 degrees in high humidity. Thank you for your generous support that made that gathering a safer place to be for United Methodists halfway around the world. As you go out into the world, know that your generosity is making a difference. It's transforming people's lives and making people's lives better. Go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.